May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The thing I want you to see mainly is how the Lord identifies Himself. And now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said that He's the God of peace. I know that in Romans 15 He refers Himself as the God of hope. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says in verse 16, now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. That's an amazing statement. Now, the Lord of peace, which means He possesses all true peace. May the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Being a pastor now for about 40 years, or in the ministry that long, probably if I asked every person, like, what is it that you want more than anything else? Most of them would say peace. Because I've never known a person who'd had peace who didn't also have joy. So they usually don't say joy, they would say peace, because when there's peace, there's joy. It's the foundation. But peace seems to be such a fleeting thing in the lives of people, and unfortunately, it's a fleeting thing often in the lives of believers, because I think Christians still believe that peace is the absence of something, or the absence of some things. Jesus said this in verse 26 of John 14. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. But peace I leave with you. And notice what He says, my peace I give to you. That 1 Thessalonians passage, or 2 Thessalonians, says, may the God of peace Himself grant you peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know, He's revealing to them about what their next few days are going to be like. He's been telling them about the cross. Their whole world's going to get turned upside down. They'd all left everything to follow Jesus. And though, if you read even the story after the resurrection in Matthew 28, we saw that recently, that even then, some of them were doubting whether this was really real. So they really weren't prepared for the cross and for what seemed to be this ultimate disappointment. And it was a scary time. They hid out. They had the doors locked in the upper room. Yet Jesus says, peace I give to you, my peace in this situation. And again in Matthew and John, I'm sorry, chapter 16, He says in verse 32, well, verse 31, He says, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming, and already is here, for you to be scattered, each to his own house, and to leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. And these things I've spoken to you, I've told you about this, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. In me you may have peace. One more verse. This is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For He, Jesus Himself, is our peace. See, when most people think about peace, they think about the absence of things in the atmosphere, the absence of conflict, the absence of noise, the absence of certain behaviors from other people, the absence of this and the absence of that. And if the absence of those things would happen, then I could have peace. And that's why people struggle with things like control and anger, because this comes out of a fear that if I can somehow control you and get this rid, you'd stop acting this way, stop behaving this way, I can have peace. It's the absence of things in the atmosphere around us. That's the world's concept of peace. But the scripture makes it very clear in the New Testament that peace is a person. It says, Jesus says, I give you my peace. It says, he himself is our peace. Where the world believes, and unfortunately most Christians still think, peace is the absence of something. The true peace is the presence of a person who changes. Whenever Christ's presence is manifested, he changes the atmosphere. There may be chaos going on, but he changes the atmosphere. Because peace is a person. When he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, it's not something that the Holy Spirit gives. It's something the Holy Spirit manifests. He's come to glorify Christ. When Jesus said, my peace I give to you, he meant his peace he gives to us. And because we're in Christ and we're in union with him, peace isn't something we pray for. We have Christ who is our peace. And we don't have to have the absence of chaos and circumstances around us to be at peace. What we have to have is the presence of Christ manifested in our lives, who is our peace. And then he totally changes the atmosphere. That's what Jesus always did. When there was a storm, Jesus would do what? Brought peace. Would speak to the storm. That's what Jesus does. The storm that goes on in our heart because of things going on around us, Jesus totally changes that and transforms that because he himself is our peace. Most of the time, Christians spend their life begging God for things he's already given us in Christ. Ephesians 1 says, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Is peace a spiritual blessing? Yes. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And it's cultivating and abiding in his presence that brings us peace in every circumstance. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, he changes the atmosphere of our heart, even though the atmosphere of the situation may not have changed at all. Because peace is the presence of a person, not the absence of chaos. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.